Fire Song, The Wind on Fire Trilogy, Book 3, written by William Nicholson and read by Samuel West.
Prologue. Bounce on Jumper. Albard lay undiscovered among the ruins for 3 days and nights. All this time he remained in a half-sleep, a waking dream, too weak to move or call out. He saw the sun pass overhead, and then the stars. He grew cold, and colder. The flesh dwindled on his great body as he starved. He knew he was dying, and knew there was nothing he could do now to save himself, nor did he wish to. He was only puzzled that it was taking so long, and a little afraid about what would happen in that mysterious final moment when the dying, which is, after all, a kind of living, came to an end. So at last he composed his mind and prepared himself to sing the song all singer people sing at the end for the release of their spirit. Unlike most of the singer people's songs, this one had words. Albard's lips did not move. No sound came from him. But in his mind he sang, "Joy of my days, let me go. Days of my life, let me go. Life of my heart, let me go. Let me go, let me go far away." His own voice sounded sweet to him and peaceful, and he thought he would sleep soon. The pain was all gone, and the ruined city around him was silent. He had no idea what time of day it was anymore, or what time of year. It was for him the end time. "Heart of my life, let me go. Life of my days, let me go. Days of my joy, let me go. Let me go, let me go far away." Then as the song came ever fainter in his fading mind, he heard a new sound, the sound of footsteps approaching. They came in bursts, as if this unseen visitor was hopping and stopping. Through the fog of his own dying, Albard heard a voice, a shrill, chirpy voice that talked to itself.
"Bounce on, Jumper," the voice said.
"Leave me alone," said Albard in his mind. "Leave me to die."
But it was no use. The newcomer couldn't hear him, and would have paid no attention even if he had. He was getting closer. Any moment now he would stumble right onto Albard's body.
"He's here somewhere, and I'm here, so when his here meets my here, I'll find him. Bounce on, Jumper."
"No," cried Albard, deep within his fading mind. "Not him, not the jolly one. Now, Death, now. Come quickly."
It was too late. Though his body was cold and his eyes long closed, stubborn life lingered in his core, and so the one who called himself Jumper found him and cried out in joy,
"Oh, happy day! Albard, my dear companion, I have found you."
"Go away."
"You don't look at all well."
"I'm almost dead, you clot."
"Never mind. We'll soon have you up and smiling, eh?"
"Drown yourself, Moonface."
"That's the spirit. You know you can do it. Who's let himself get cold? Dear, oh dear, rub-a-dub-dub. We'll soon have you warm again."
The little fellow set himself hammering over the dying man's great starved wreck of a body, beating heat back into the icy limbs. Albard felt the tiny spark of life within him flicker and grow stronger. His eyes opened.
"Well, hello, stranger," beamed Jumper. "Welcome back to this wonderful world."
Albard did not speak. He let his great grey eyes stare his outrage and his contempt.
"You don't have to thank me," said Jumper. "Making people happy is my reward."
"What a moon-faced clot it is," thought Albard to himself as Jumper chafed his limbs.
He felt the first painful thrill of returning sensation.
"And what sort of thing is he anyway? Is he man or woman? Or something else altogether for which we need a new name?"
"You're a blob," he decided. "A silly, smiling blob."